Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to read one verse right now, and then we're going to look at some other verses. We'll be again today in our series on the promises of God. You could probably say it with me now, but a promise is what God declared He would do for His people. And if we're His people, it applies. It applies. And we're before this communion service, and I pray that the message will just make the communion real to us. We'll read one verse here, perhaps one of my most favorite promises. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We live in the time to which this promise particularly applies. This applies to today. It applies to right now. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the promise of the answered call. The promise of the answered call. Let's pray together as a people. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in a special way. Lord, move in my heart and my mind that I could speak those things that would address the hearts of people. Lord, may no one leave here with the need without having found, Lord, that you desire to help them and to meet that need. Be with us in this Lord's Supper. May the elements speak to us tremendously as we partake of them. God, may our hearts be tender, Lord, this morning. May we be receptive to what you want to say and do by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The promise of the answered call. It's now used as a case study of what they call the bystander effect. In 1964, Kitty Genovese was walking in Queens, New York, coming home in the early hours of the morning. She was attacked by a man with a knife. Now here's the thing. This man, over a period of 30 minutes, continued to stab Kitty. He even left twice and came back, and for a period of 30 minutes, stabbed 28-year-old Kitty Genovese. Now that's bad enough. What's worse is she was crying out for help the whole time. And when they began to investigate, they discovered that there in her apartment building and on the street where she was murdered, over a time of 30 minutes, they discovered there were 38 people who had heard and seen her cries for help and who had done nothing. 38 people over a 30-minute period heard her cries. At one point, she cried and said, "Oh my God, he stabbed me. Please help me. Someone help me." Later, she cried, "I'm dying, I'm dying. Help me." 38 people heard the screams, understood she needed help, and did nothing. The worst of that is, at one point, she made eye contact with one of her neighbors, and she recognized him, listen to this, and called him by name, but he never even replied as the knife was going into her body. I want you to think about that last. She looked him in the eyes, called him by name, and cried out for help, and there was no response. That's people. I want to contrast that with God. You cannot call His name and ask for help and He not respond, because He has promised, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Brother Wilson, if you call on Him, He won't ignore it. He won't turn His head. He'll pay attention. God is never unresponsive to the sincere cry. He always answers. That is His promise. I've always been impressed by the simplicity of the prayer of the psalmist in Psalms 12. Here's how he begins his prayer. "Help, Lord." Have you ever been there? Aren't you glad it doesn't take some fancy recitation of a prayer. Aren't you glad you can be just like the psalmist, and when you're in need and when you're in trouble and when the difficulties arise and when you're staring the problem in the face and you've got the bad report and everything seems to be falling apart, even the only thing you need to do is to cry out, "Help, Lord!" It'd be all right from your pew if someone felt the need this morning just to cry out, "Help, Lord!" Amen. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know, every saved person in the house, if you're born again, if you're saved, I want you to lift your hand all over the building. Amen. Look at these hands. Every saved person here, Brother Wilson, every saved person here has something in common. If you're saved this morning, everybody that's saved has this in common. There came a day when you felt your need and you called on the name of the Lord. And when you called upon the name of the Lord, He responded. He saved you. He changed you. He transformed you. He made you new. He intervened. He inserted. Hallelujah. His grace and mercy. Aren't you glad for the promise that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Hallelujah. I think it's one of the most powerful verses of Scripture, not just because it has a catchy jingle sound to it, but because it's true. I can preach this to the believer in the most desperate straits, financial and family-wise. Amen. If you're in that condition, I can preach it to you. But if you're here this morning and you're lost, and you're in the depths of sin, I can preach it to you. And if you're a vile sinner that's given your life over to evil, I can preach it to you. And I can proclaim with conviction this morning the promise of God that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know people have seemingly hopeless situations. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to tell them. You don't know what to counsel them. But I'm telling you, one thing you can tell them is, whatever your situation, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many's already thought of somebody you wish you could tell that to? Hallelujah. I want us to note the message of which it's a part. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14, and I want you to pay particular attention. Sometimes we have to do this with verses that are very familiar portions of Scripture. Our mind goes on cruise control and we don't really think about it. We're all like that. But I want us to pay particular attention to these verses to make what I feel like is a point that is often missed on this day of Pentecost message of Peter. This promise is right at the beginning of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. Let me read it. Verse 14. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy." Now, before we get to the next verse, I want to warn you. There's a change. He's talking about pouring out his spirit. He's talking about blessing. He's talking about these wonderful things happening at the outpour of his spirit. But suddenly he turns in verse 19. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come." And then he gives the promise, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, this whole message of Peter, he's explaining to the people that with that outpouring of the Holy Spirit began the last days, began the age of the church, began the age of grace. this church again, this age we live in, these last days that we live in, began with that mighty outpour of the Holy Spirit. But Peter immediately and zoomed to the very end, the beginning of the last days, outpour of the Spirit. But he immediately zooms to the very end of the last days. And he says, at the end of the last days, the sun is going to be darkened. And the moon's going to turn his blood. And there's going to be horrible signs in the heavens. He went from the outpour of the Spirit to the coming judgment. He went from the beginning of the last days to the end of the last days. I want to show you how I know Peter was talking about the end of the last days. He's mirroring. He's echoing what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Here's what Jesus said. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How many believes that's coming? Did you notice that's the same language, that's the same message that Peter just spoke at the day of Pentecost? But not just Jesus, John the Revelator in chapter 6. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. You ever taken one of those old blinds and pulled them down and let go, and they just roll up? John said that's the way it's going to be with the heavens. They're going to roll up as a scroll. He had another scroll of mine, but that's what comes to my mind. He said every mountain and island will be moved out of their places. I'm telling you, Peter's given an explanation. He said, what you have seen is the beginning of the last days. This outpour, this blessing, these people speaking the wonderful things of God, that's beginning of the last days. But he said, I want to tell you how at the end of the last days is going to be. It's going to be end with horrible and terrible judgments. Even the cosmic, the universe is going to go at war against this earth. You'll see all kinds of terrible signs. I mean, it's going to be a horrible, horrible time preceding the wrath of God. But he said, I want you to know something. Whether you've seen the outpour of blessing and say, I want some of that blessing, or whether you have to look to the end and see how horrible the judgment's going to be and say, I don't want any of that. In either case, you've got to know something. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not changed. If you see the blessings of God, you see the goodness of God and grace of God, and say, I'd like in on that, you can get in on that, because whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But on the other hand, if you look to the end and see how horrible it's going to be, people without God, the unsaved, the judgment, and say, I don't want to be in on that. You don't have to be in on that, because whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I think it's important that he mentioned the beginning of the last days and the end, because this promise of whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved isn't just for the beginning and the end. It's for this age of grace all the way in between those two bookends. It's for this morning. That is the message that this promise is a part of. You know why Peter can proclaim this as a certainty? He goes on to tell us. He can tell you, I know this promise is going to happen this way. I know it's going to happen this way because God gave Jesus and evil men killed him. But God has raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand to pour out this Holy Ghost. And so since I know that God gave him, and I know that he died and rose again, I can tell you, Peter says, if you'll call on the name of the one who died and rose again, he's going to save you. I know that for a certainty. Amen. You see, it's a little deeper than that. He said, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't just mean at that moment, but it's talking about a characteristic. not just an individual moment, but you show me people who are people that call on the name of the Lord. And I'll show you people that when the end comes, they're going to be saved. It's not just an immediate thing that I'm in trouble right now. I call, he answers and takes care of my trouble right now. It's that if I am one of those people, how many is one of those people? If I'm one of those people that call on the name of the Lord, I can have the assurance. I can know that when the end comes, I'm going to be saved. See, that's another way we need to look at this promise. How many is glad to know you can have that confidence? But the question is, are you one of those people who are genuinely, sincerely, consistently calling on the name of the Lord? That goes from Genesis to the New Testament. In Genesis, it defined the people of God as those in those days, those that begin to call on his name. Peter said we should be those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart fervently. And so I want to tell you, we ought to get all excited about this. If you're one of those who truly calls on God, I can tell you when that end comes, when that sun goes dark and that moon turns its blood, if you're one of those that calls on the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved when it all happens. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry. You don't have to go to bed tonight and be concerned about that. Amen. Those that rebel against God, though, and rebel against the gospel, they have another thing they call on. You know, I just read to you. Go back to that quickly. Revelation 6:12. Amen. The revelator said that the sun was darkened. The moon became blood. Verse 13, the stars of heaven fell. Verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll. Then he tells us what happens in verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and ever bondmen and ever free men hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, it tells us that when the sun goes dark and the moon turns its blood and the stars fall, that those that call on the name of the Lord are going to be saved. But it tells us there's going to be another set of people who have rebelled against the gospel and refused the truth. And even when the sun goes dark, they don't call on God as you would expect. But instead, they hide and call for suicide. They call for the rocks to hide them, and some believe even to kill them. I just want to put it this way. I know it's simplistic. If you'll call on the rock today, you won't be in that group that calls on the rocks then. And I'll tell you something, you call on the rock, he knows how to answer it. You call on those rocks, you're left at the mercy of judgment. Aren't you glad we can call on him? Oh, are you in the group that calls on the name of the Lord? And then I want to look at the meaning of the words in this promise. It's a short promise. It begins with whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever. I like the word whosoever. That simply means none are excluded. It doesn't matter your name, your nationality, your background, your family life, your economic status, amen, your race, amen, your gender. It doesn't matter. Amen. Whosoever includes you. In fact, I feel like the only ones that are excluded from this promise are the ones who refuse to call. The only ones that are excluded from salvation are those that exclude themselves because they do not call on his name. We used to sing an old hymn, and the chorus said, whosoever surely meaneth me. I mean, I've talked to some folks, they said, I can't be saved. They need to know something. Whosoever means them. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you discovered one day that whosoever means me? Glory to God. I'm not excluded. I'm included. Hallelujah. Then I want you to look at the word call. The word call simply means to appeal or to invoke or to petition. I want to ask you something this morning. Is this a call for help? Is that a call for help? What about help? Help. Is that a call for help? What about help? Amen. You see, a call is not just a little petition. It's something that's intense. It's something that's felt. It's something that's passionate. Amen. I'm not necessarily talking about the loudness of the voice, but I'm talking about the intensity of the desire and the desperation. You know, usually it is our nature, though. If we really get in trouble as humans, it seems to be our nature. We do get loud. Loud makes some people nervous, and loud makes me nervous. Amen. But nobody gets nervous when someone's truly in help and they're getting loud. In fact, I read just last night before I went to bed about blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, that sat by the roadside begging. And when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began, the Bible said, to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And some of the crowd didn't like it. It was disturbing church. It was drowning out the choir. Amen. And so they went to him and said, "Blind Bartimaeus, you need to quieten down. You need to hold back a little bit. Won't you just bow your head and pray into your hands?" Amen. Amen. The Bible said when he got that instruction, blind Bartimaeus shook it off and cried the more a great deal, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible said, and Jesus stood still above the cacophony of the crowd, above all the talking, all the chattering, all the dogs are barking. Amen. His heart heard the cry, and he stood still and said, "Command him to be called." Hallelujah. And he was healed that day. That's the kind of call God answers. That heart felt sincere. Cry of the heart. He will not turn a deaf ear to it. But you see, the problem is no one rightly calls out for help unless they realize they're in trouble. Excuse me. This will only be a 15-minute sermon if I didn't have to keep stopping to blow my nose. I said that some people don't call out to God because they don't realize how bad trouble they are. You got to realize how bad of trouble you are before you can call out to God. I heard a cute little story. A man said he was listening the other day to some people talking, and they were talking about this man that was, you know, piloting a single-seater plane, just a little airplane, and he got in a lot of trouble, so he called the control tower. Here's what he said. He said, the pilot to tower, he said, "I'm 300 miles from the airport, and I'm 600 feet above ground, and I'm out of fuel, and I'm descending rapidly. Could you please advise me?" Over. Tower to pilot, "Repeat after me, 'Our Father, which art in heaven.'" You see, people, they have to know they have a need before they start calling out to help. Some people's problem isn't that God can't save them and help them. They just don't realize how big a trouble they're in. Amen. But I'm telling you, people do need saved. They need saved from sin and from hell and from emptiness and from self-destruction. I want to pause here to say, I'm glad it doesn't say, "Call and give $1 million and you shall be saved. Call and build a church and you shall be saved. Call and find a cure for cancer and you shall be saved. Call and graduate from college and you shall be saved." Aren't you glad it simply says, "Call and you shall be saved"? A desperate cry. And then notice it says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." I want to focus on the Lord part here. You see, the Lord is Kurios. That means the one in charge. It doesn't matter if you're talking about over a house, a workplace, a country, or the universe. The Kurios, the Lord, is the one who is in charge. Amen. Isn't it comforting to know that when you call on the name of the Lord, you're calling on the one who has the power and authority to meet your need? Hallelujah. When you call on the Lord, you are in fact admitting that He is the Supreme One. He is the capable one. What is the name of the Lord? We know that it is Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven
given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. And then I want us to look at the word saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved means to rescue. It means to deliver. It means to preserve, to protect, to make whole. Amen. We're going to get through this, aren't we? I just thought of something funny. I was preaching at a marriage retreat once in a fancy motel. And they got through eating, you know, and I'm standing up here, and I had a cold like this, and I had to keep blowing my nose. And so I turned around real polite like I just did. You notice how polite that was? And I blew my nose the first time. Everyone just started dying laughing. And I looked up, and the whole back wall was mirrors. So it didn't help me a bit to turn around. See, we've almost worn the word out, saved. What does it mean? I mean, we vaguely know what it means. But when we say we've been saved, we say we've been rescued. We've been delivered. We've been made whole. I was talking to someone this week, and they were arguing that maybe hell isn't eternal. Maybe hell is just a place of annihilation. You know, if you don't live right, you're just annihilated. You cease to be. And this person told me, you know, he said, if that's true, then maybe we're wrong. Maybe we shouldn't tell people they need to get saved because there's a burning hell. Maybe we should tell people they need to get saved because they can go to this wonderful, wonderful place called heaven. Be born again so you can go to a wonderful place called heaven. And that ought to appeal to them. They ought to just want to go to heaven. Well, I'm not going to argue the nature of man. The nature of man's a little differently than that. I just said to him, I said, you just ruined the word save. Because if being born again is just about going to heaven and it's not being delivered from hell and from sin and eternal punishment, what does the word save mean? The word save doesn't mean anything. You see, to be saved, you have to be saved from something. Hallelujah. I think there's some folks here that knows what you've been saved from. Jesus said, my mission, Luke 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to take people to heaven to live forever in glory. No, he said, my mission has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. The angel said, at the very conception, we'll be entering this season soon, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know why we need saved from sins? Because it's sin that takes us to hell. And if he can save us from our sins, he can save us from hell. Hallelujah. How many knows what I'm talking about? You don't just say, thank God I've been born again. You say, I've been saved. I've been saved. Hallelujah. You see, to be saved is to be in danger of impending calamity and destruction, to be in great pain, but to be pulled back from that in the nick of time. How many can say with you it was in a nick of time? Hallelujah. Even impending calamity, but pulled back in a nick of time. Being saved is being carried from the burning building right before the roof collapses. Being saved is being thrown the rope when you're thrashing in the water and going down for the last time. Being saved is when foreclosure is tomorrow and a check comes in the mail today. Even being saved is having a heart attack, but immediately being given the medicine that pulls you back from death's door. Being saved is being in the path of a speeding vehicle and suddenly being jerked out of its path. Being saved is to have a heart and life and mind of sin and be headed for eternal destruction, but to have a bloodstained, nail-pierced hand reach out and get a hold of you and pull you back from the brink. We've been saved. Hallelujah. This is the promise. But before I move on to a conclusion, it not only means saved from eternal punishment, but it means saved from things right now and here. I believe he's the Savior of things right now and here. Hallelujah. There are other things. Those are important things to be saved from than hell. Sometimes we need saved from sickness. Hear me. Sometimes we need to be saved from despair, turmoil of mind and heart, a lack of peace. Sometimes we need to be saved from that awful loneliness. Sometimes people need saved from the ravages of the abuse that they've been through. Sometimes people need saved from the pain and destruction of relationships that break apart. Sometimes people need saved from a sinful habit. Sometimes people need saved from the pain of rejection. We could go on and on. Sometimes we need saved from fear and saved from anxiety. There's a lot of things other than just hell to be saved from. And so I want to say the promise applies to those things too. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I want to talk about the movement this promise brings. This call brings. Look in verse 21. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to ask you a question. Who said this? Who gave us this promise? I know it came from God, but who was the preacher? The preacher was Peter. I want to ask you a question. Is there any way Peter could have proclaimed this promise without thinking of an experience in his own life? How many already knows what Peter had to have been thinking? In Matthew 14, Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, here it is. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. There's no one that can convince me on that day. I know he was anointed of the Holy Spirit. I know he was saying what the Holy Spirit inspired him to say. But there's no one who can convince me that when Peter gave this promise, Sister Wilson, he wasn't thinking of that night when he was going down beneath those waves and he cried out, "Jesus, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand immediately and got him by his hand and picked him up above the waves in the wind. Oh, hallelujah. How many remembers the time you were going down for the last time? How many remembers that? You were going down for the last time. Hallelujah. But you cried out and he picked you up above the wind and wave. I noticed something here I never noticed before. Amen. Here he's sinking. He's going down for the last time. Jesus pulls him up, keeps him from drowning. But notice one thing. The waves are still billowing. The wind is still blowing. And the water that could drown him is still beneath his feet. Amen. The storm's still going on. But he's not going under because he called out to God and God's got a hand on him. I know some of you got a storm. You've got difficulty. But if you'll cry out to the name of the Lord, he'll get a hold of you and the storm may still rage. Amen. But you aren't going down. He's got a hand on you. Hallelujah. I don't know how far it was back to the boat. Amen. But they made it to the boat. And when they got there, the wind stopped. The wave went down. I want to tell you, you may be in an awful situation. I'm not promising you that every trouble is going to be immediately remedied. But I'm telling you, if you'll call out to God, he'll get a hold of you. And when he's got a hold of you, the water's not drowning you. And when he's got a hold of you, he will get you to the boat. Hallelujah. He will get you to heaven. Glory to God, where there'll be no more storm. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for it? The role of parents with teenagers is to embarrass their children, and so I'm just getting early practice. When Peter cried to the Lord, there was an immediate movement of Jesus' hand. You know what the scripture said? How many can believe that for this morning? Amen. It's the ringing of the bell in the firehouse that caused the firemen to move. It's the scream of the infant in its room that causes the parents to move. It's the emergency button that brings the nurse. Hallelujah. And so will a call be. And last of all this morning, the motive this promise reveals. And just briefly, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell each of us this morning how we greet this promise is determined about where our heart is. If this promise thrills our heart, if this promise gives us hope, if this promise boosts our faith, if this promise compels us to pray, it's because we really do desire the help of the Lord. But if we're indifferent, if we don't think we need help, if we don't care for the help of the Lord, if we can think we can handle it our own self, then to hear this promise means nothing. Amen. How you answer this promise doesn't depend upon its truthfulness. It depends upon the desire of your heart. If you really want help, you'll hear this promise and something will begin to stir. That can be me. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Those who don't really want to be saved, they won't call, or if they do call, it will not be sincere. I know some folks trapped in temptation, fighting a strong temptation, but they're not crying out to God and they won't be saved. I know some folks that are cold and indifferent, and they're not calling out to the Lord. They won't be saved. I know other folks that are discouraged and disillusioned, and you can feel sympathetic with them, but they're not calling on the name of the Lord and they won't be saved. I see folks whose life is crumbling around them, but they're not calling on the name of the Lord and they won't be saved. But I can tell you, if you will call on His name in sincerity, you will be saved. Music, would you come? I've heard folks say, God can't really save me. My question is, have you really called to Him with your whole heart and your whole life? I can't imagine unless to a group called Chipmunk, but he or the group has a song that it begins, yeah, see, I was crying out for help and ain't nobody heard my screams. There's someone that'll hear your call this morning. I'm talking about the promise of the answer call. In the night this week, I had a call on the church line and talked to someone who was distraught about their life. And I was so glad. I told him, I don't know how to tell you how to straighten all this out, but I can tell you that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever means me, means you. Let's praise Him as the servers come. Would you worship Him? Why don't you just call on Him a little bit? Go ahead and call out. I mean, I don't know the needs of your life, but just call out to Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Servers, would you come? Amen.
Only grace. of my love. You could work a lifetime long and still could not erase the guilt of sin. You're only saved by grace. The guilt that I had self-imposed released its hold on me. The gentle Lamb of God spoke peace, from mental chains made free. My soul burst out with music, my heart was filled with praise, when I realized that Christ alone through death had fully paid the debt I made. Only grace made me worthy of His blood. Only grace made me worthy of His love. I could work a lifetime long and still could not erase the guilt of sin. I'm only saved by grace. The guilt that I had self-imposed released its hold on me. The gentle Lamb of God spoke peace, from mental chains made free. My soul burst out with music, my heart was filled with praise, when I realized that Christ alone through death had fully paid this debt I made. Only grace can make me worthy of His blood. Only grace made me worthy of His love. I could work a lifetime long and still could not erase the guilt of sin. I'm only saved by grace. Only grace made us worthy of His blood. Only grace made us worthy of His love. We could work a lifetime long and still could not erase the guilt of sin. We're only saved by grace. Only grace made us worthy of His blood. Only grace made us worthy of His love. We could work a lifetime long and still could not erase the guilt of sin. We're only saved by grace. Only grace can make us worthy of His blood. Only grace can make us worthy of His love. We could work a lifetime long and still could not erase the guilt of sin. We're only saved by grace.
Aren't you glad to be saved? Amen. Could you stand across the building this morning? Aren't you glad to know that when you ask Him to forgive you, He totally purges and takes away your sin? Amen. Just removes it. Amen. Brother Lou, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread? Amen. Let's partake together. Without His blood, there's no other way to take away sin. But through His blood, our sin can be taken away. Brother Ronnie Dale, would you ask the Lord to bless the cup? Amen. Let's partake with gratefulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're clean this morning, thank Him for this cleansing of the blood. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing together. Let's just truly take a moment to be grateful. I didn't know the clock had stopped back there. I thought I was doing really good this morning. But let's take a moment just to worship the Lord. Amen. Could we? Amen. Let's sing it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Sing that again. I just wanted to insert this little thing here. How remember is the day when you first received grace and was saved? I want to tell you something exciting that James said. James says, He giveth more grace. How many needs grace on this Sunday in 2012? Aren't you glad to know He giveth more grace? More. Oh, hallelujah. I believe He's meeting someone's need right now with His grace. He gives more grace. Let's sing it one more time. Hallelujah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
The building. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you heard our cry. We were going down for the last time, but Lord, you heard our cry. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Important part of our Lord's Supper is to greet one another. Greet your brothers and sisters and show your love one to another.